Why is it, do you think, children are always too young to hear the truth, but never too young to be lied to systematically, conscientiously, in the name of education?
This is Teachers for Class War on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. Listen online at freakradio.org. Welcome to Teachers for Class War. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and tonight, the 19th of April 2010, we're talking to Tina and Jeffrey from the Real Work Labor Day Film Festival, the May Day Film Festival. Welcome to Free Radio to you both.
Thank you.
Yes. Good evening.
If you could start by talking a little bit about the history of the festival. I understand this is the ninth year.
Yes, right, Daniel. Real Work 2010. We started in 2002. Humble beginnings, but it's really taken off. It's gotten a lot of support from the community, both members of labor unions, community activists, community members who are interested in and supportive of labor and working people, and a lot of businesses as well that have donated in kind services to keep our festival going. Our focus, we call it the Labor Film Festival, and our focus is more than just labor unions and the labor movement, but what we like to focus on is the working people joining together through united action to improve their lives and the lives of their families and their communities. And so we touch on a lot of themes that really promote that, really highlight that aspect of humanity.
Well, and in terms of timing, too, I appreciate that there's something going on in Santa Cruz, in our town, around May Day, because, you know, Labor Day in September in this country is kind of an anomaly where the rest of the world...
Right.
May Day is Labor Day.
Right.
And so, you know, oftentimes folks get together and organize something, put on an event, but there's something regular in this town. There's a May Day Film Festival every year.
Right, right. So. We picked that date because we are trying to reclaim May 1st as International Workers' Day here in the United States, where really the inspiration for International Workers' Day came from here, the Haymarket massacre in Chicago in 1883.
Tina, are you a UCSC student?
I am. I'm a community studies major. So, events that have to do with community activism and getting involved in those types of things are really important and central to the things that we study. So,
Is this your first year getting involved with the film festival?
It is. I'm a transfer student, so I just got here. And it's the first year that the Labor Film Festival has been going on since I've been here. Mm-hmm. And I heard about it and decided to get involved.
Yeah. Welcome to Santa Cruz.
Thank you.
Welcome to May Day organizing and all that good stuff.
Thanks.
Labors. What's going on this year that maybe is different than Jeffrey for someone who's been to film festivals in years past? What looks different in the ninth year?
Well, every year has a slightly different focus. We're really thrilled this year to have Howard Zinn's last film. We're having an event, and we're going to have somebody on the line a little later to talk more about that event, really commemorating the life and work of Howard Zinn, our generation's greatest teacher of history. And
is it going to be specifically local to Santa Cruz?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We have been expanding. Some people that have worked with us in the past have taken the concept to their own communities. And so we have a whole schedule now in San Jose, focused mostly around San Jose City College, mm-hmm. and also in Monterey County, focused mostly around the CSU campus in Marina. But this year, for the first time, now we're in Salinas. We're going to have a show at the Steinbeck Center in Salinas.
So there's been screenings in Watsonville and Santa Cruz, on campus and in town, and as well then Monterey and Salinas, over the hill in San Jose. So it's really becoming a regional film festival and a regional event.
Yes, it is.
So we're welcomed by another member of the collective here, the other co-host. We'll get you a mic shortly. And as Jeffrey mentioned, in a few minutes we'll be joined by Lisa Smithline. She's worked in the production. You know, The People Speak is a film that was begun when Howard Zinn was was living. It was a project that he was working on and contributing to. I understand it was completed before he died, but it seems to be his final work. Not intentionally so, but it's getting a lot of attention, and I'm glad that it's getting out there as part of the film festival, because it deserves to be watched, from what I understand. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but can you tell us a little bit about it before we hear from Lisa?
Well, let's leave that till she gets on the line, but I did want to say a few more things, some interesting coincidences about our festival. This season of the year is really film festival heaven. We have several festivals happening, one right after another. Starting this week, there's a little film festival about food. You are what you eat, and that's when Tuesday through Friday nights, films about food. And coincidentally, in that series, there are a couple other films that they weren't able to show in Santa Cruz, but we just coincidentally are having them on our program,
well,
including
good.
Food Inc. We're showing Food Inc. That's going to be our opening event on at noon, matinee showing at the Nickelodeon Theater on Sunday, April 25th. So that's about food. Of course, our focus is not going to just be about the quality of the food, but the corporatization of the food production and how workers are treated, not just how the land and the environment and the consumers are treated, but how the workers are treated. And we're going to have an organizer there from the UFCW, which had a big strike at the Smithfield packing plant, the largest meat packing plant in the country. And then right after, where our last show is on May the 5th at Cabrillo College, film Bound for Glory, a film about Woody Guthrie. And the day after that is the opening night of the Santa Cruz Film Festival. And their first film is called Soundtrack for a Revolution. Now, we tried to get that film for our festival, and they beat us out. So
what you're saying is
sort of a crossover.
There's three film festivals coming up,
and there's
for
a
the
crossover.
Foodies, for the yeah. for the workers, and for the general, film goers. There's some overlap.
Lots of community overlap,
all right.
Which is perfect.
Right, it's all one big union or one big film festival, as it were. Can you tell us about the event at UCSC? What's going on up there?
So the event at UCSC is taking place at Kresge Town Hall, which is easily accessible to all us UCSC students. And they're going to be showing Claim Your Change, which is a bunch of surfers turned activists in Chile. They wanted to preserve some beach. And that's a short film, but then the longer one is What's the Economy For Anyway? And both of those films are on April 26th at 7 p.m. And afterwards, there's going to be a panel discussion about from a bunch of the representatives from the union workers on campus for, teachers and secretarial unions and stuff like that. And they'll be able to do a big Q&A for everybody, which would be really, really interesting.
Excellent. So then where can folks get the schedule and look around and get more information if they're not remembering all these times and dates, which I don't expect anyone to do?
Right. Well, we do have a website with the complete information at realwork.org. That's R-E-E-L, as in the movie Real, R-E-E-L-W-O-R-K.org. And we have a very nice-looking printed program, which is available in a lot of places, but sort of hit or miss whether you're going to happen to run across one. We're trying to get them to the libraries and to the Nick and the Del Mar, the theaters where we're going to be showing films.
If you're a UCSC student, they'll be definitely circulating around on campus, so they should be accessible there.
Excellent. And then next week on this show, we'll be talking with a member of PVFT, the teachers union in Pajaro, about a film that he's presenting as part of a panel discussion. Rogelio will be speaking about Y Se Hizo La Luz, a film about the electrical workers union in Mexico. It's the biggest union in Mexico, one of the biggest unions in the Americas. And they're currently have been for a long time, but currently really, really deep in the push against privatization in that country, as a nationalized electricity delivery system is, increasingly looking at being privatized bought, sold off to investors as other nationalized industries have done in Mexico. So next week, same time, Monday at 6 on Teachers for Class War, we'll hear about that film and that event.
And that event is Sunday, May the 2nd at the Cabrillo campus in Watsonville. And along with Ise Hizo La Luz is Watsonville on Strike, John Silver's classic film about the cannery workers' strike in 1987. And we played that on our very first our opening season. And
I was going to say, that's got to be a repeat.
Yes, it's definitely a repeat, and it's worth repeating.
Excellent. And so kind of connecting the local to a struggle that seems local to a lot of folks in this community, but really, you know, Watsonville, Santa Cruz County, that's a flashpoint for local labor history.
Right. Well, most of the workers who were at that at those canneries and went on strike were women of Mexican heritage, and a lot of them Mexican citizens still. And so when the plant closed down, they moved the plant, they moved the packing industry to Mexico. And, you know, the other film on that program about the Mexican workers, the electrical workers union, so that's sort of the other side of the border, mm-hmm. you know, the same stuff about privatization and what's happening with the unions.
Great. Well, let's take a bit of a break. We're going to play some information about Howard Zinn and get Lisa Smithline on the phone to talk about The People Speak as part of the Real Work Film Festival.
I was a politically aware young person reading about fascism and the Spanish Civil War and Hitler and Mussolini. And so I wanted to go. I wanted to go fight against fascism. So I
volunteered for the Air Force.
I was in the Air Force for 2.5 years and dropped bombs on Berlin, dropped bombs on various cities in Germany, and even bombed a little town in France. And this was a strange one, and one that had a very profound effect on me later as I thought about it. And the war actually in Europe was about over. It was a few weeks from being over, and everybody knew it. They told us we were going to bomb this little town in France because there were several thousand German soldiers around the town. They weren't doing anything, weren't bothering anyone. They were just waiting for the war to end, but we were going to go over and bomb them. Of course, later I learned this was napalm, the first use of napalm in the European theater. And you know, when you're bombing from 30,000 feet, you don't hear anything, you don't see anything, you don't know what's happening to people down there, you don't hear people screaming, you don't see blood, you don't see mangled limbs, none of that. And several thousand people were killed. Germans were killed, French were killed, and it wasn't until really after the war, maybe after I learned about Hiroshima and Nagasaki and began to think about bombing and began to question the total goodness of the good war, only then did I go think about Royan and that bombing.
Sleeping on a pit of solid rock.
I thought about my own experience in the Air Force, and it was very clear to me, looking around at all these guys around me who were dropping bombs and who were killing people, that did not come from inside. It did not come from, oh God, how good it would be to kill some people today. You know, there was no urge to kill, even though they were the enemy. No, what it came from was simply we had been trained. And also we had been told it's a good war. We had been told we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. Wars don't take place out of the rush of a population demanding war. It isn't the population that demands war, it's the leaders who demand war and who prepare the population for war.
There's a fight against the blood and hatred in the air.
So it then became very important for me to knock down, focus on and argue against that idea whenever I could.
Good evening. You are listening to Teachers for Class War. We are here with various and sundry folk from the Real Work Film Festival. We've been talking a little bit about that. Again, if you want to check the Real Work Film Festival showings, you can check realwork.org, R-E-E-L-W-O-R-K, .org. And that's the website for all the different films that are going to be showing around town. And we've got a caller on the line.
Lisa, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Can you hear us?
I can. Thank you. And thanks for including me.
Excellent. Welcome to Free Radio. Lisa Smithline works with Cultural Front Productions, and you're here to talk about The People Speak, a film that you've been involved with getting out there and distributing to film festivals like this one.
That is true, and thank you so much. And hearing Howard's voice was a welcome, nice surprise, and I was honored to be able to work with him at the end of his life. This was his last and final project, well, at least his final film project. I hope that there are many things. His body of work is extensive, and I hope there are many, many more things to come from him. He certainly had a lot to share. And The People Speak, which is based on his book, The People's History of the United States, which I'm happy to say has sold over 2 million copies. It's pretty remarkable for a radical historian to sell over 2 million copies of his book. And The People Speak was based on that and another book called Voices of the People's History. And what it is, basically, is it's Howard's narration and various musicians and actors and actresses performing pieces that are taken from historical records, so from letters and diaries, etc., and sharing history from the ground up, as we like to call it. It's history from those that were typically considered those that were conquered as opposed to those that are the conquerors. And it's a pretty moving film.
And so what are the images that we see as we're hearing these words, as we're hearing these narratives and seeing the performances by what to a certain extent amounts to Are there reenactments, or is it just seeing the performance or seeing the delivery?
It's actually a little bit of both. We've got major talent, including Matt Dillon and Marissa Tomei and Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen and Pink. And they are singing and or reading directly from the record, the records themselves, the historical records. What we also have is each one of the pieces are cut in with historical footage. So we've got photographs and film that cuts in between. So you're seeing the actor read or the musician sing, and then you're also seeing images from the actual, either renderings if it's prior to film, and then photographs as well. And then cut in with that is Howard's narration. So he's telling, weaving the story together, setting it in context with his words as well, and he also has a place in the film.
I'm curious, what is that place in the film? Was it completed before he died? Were there any alterations or any that kind of thing? I'm wondering how he appears in this, his final work.
Yes, he appears. He introduces it, and he appears on stage. It's all done on two different stages over a period of time, and so each one of the readings or performances is on these same stages, and Howard introduces each segment. There's a segment on economic justice. There's a segment on racial justice, on civil liberties, on women's issues, and each section and between each reading, Howard introduces and puts it into context and gives the historical analysis, if you will. And anybody who knows Howard or has seen him knows that he brings his life and humanity and humor to it all. So there's a tremendous amount of hopefulness that Howard shared and that now we have on record for all time, thank goodness. And what we're doing, what my involvement with the project primarily is that Howard's vision was that that these things should not be secret and that they should be used as resources to educate and to inspire people to take action. Our tagline is democracy is not a spectator sport, and he meant that very literally, that what we see in the film and what his book, The People's History of the United States, pointed out is that history was not made by those that were on the top, but by those that were not necessarily on the top or the bottom, but those that just stood up and advocated and were the, what he called the troublemakers for change. And that's what our goal is with the film. We have a website, thepeoplespeak.com, and it's just launching actually this week, and it has the it has some information about it, but the primary and most important part to us is the ability for people to buy the DVD and host their own screenings to show the film in their schools or in their community centers, in their churches, in their film festivals, and to bring these pieces of history into life so that people can not only see how it was done in the past, but know that history is being made every day and that they have a place that they can be inspired by this film and then hopefully get out there and make their own change.
Yeah. Hi, Lisa. This is Jeffrey.
Hello, Jeffrey. Good to talk to you.
Yes. I just thought I'd mention how the interesting circumstance that we got to bring Howard's film, The People Speak, here to Santa Cruz. We had invited Howard to come to our festival and show an earlier film of his
Don't be neutral?
Yeah, you can't be neutral on a moving train, and his schedule was very busy, and I was surprised he returned the email personally and said, sorry, booked up this year, try me next year. Well, I waited a couple of years, and then I heard about this film coming out last fall, and so I sent him an email again, and I guess his email was getting overwhelming. He had somebody else respond who CC'd a Lisa Smith line, who I knew because you had been out here promoting and speaking with another film, the Walmart film, the high price of low cost. And so then I began speaking with you about how to bring that film out, and could we possibly have Howard come out to the event. And then we spoke right after we heard about his death, and we realized that that was not going to be possible, but it sort of inspired us even more to make sure that we had a good commemorations event here for Howard, because I know a lot of people in this community really see Howard as a hero.
Yeah, he's definitely got a solid fan base here. To say the least.
Well, we are certainly grateful, and Jeffrey, you have a great memory, and yes, I was lucky enough to be representing the Walmart film a few years ago, and again, that was another film that was designed to inspire people to take action. I like to work on films that get people the chance to not just watch them and get a little upset, but give them the opportunity to do something with it, and similar with The People Speak. Like I said, thepeoplespeak.com has a lot of information on it, encouraging people to use the film to get out there and inspire people, especially young people and people who might be right now suffering from a little bit of discouragement maybe because of the situation. Howard was anything if he wasn't optimistic at all times, which was a pretty remarkable thing. And having the opportunity and privilege to work on this film, I want to extend that and to try to keep Howard's optimism and radical ideas alive by using this film. We have plans to bring it into schools. It's a wonderful way to bring history to life and to inspire young people to know that they don't just have to read about things and wish that they were different, but that they can learn about things and then take their own actions and make things different.
As a teacher, I'm really interested in how that functions in the film. I haven't seen it yet myself, but I'm always interested in how we're able to be instructive about being radical without being very preachy or without telling people what to think or what to do. Like, how does it inspire creativity, or how does it instruct people
that they don't have to feel disenfranchised and that they don't have to just feel disappointed?
Well, I think exile's a great question, and the goal of Howard's book and the goal of this film was to allow those that are just like the rest of us, ordinary people, ordinary men and women, who just took the action upon themselves. A young woman working in a factory who spoke up because she felt that she couldn't take it anymore, or a man who spoke up in trial during the abolition period and lost his life as a result. And through the words of these people and the courageousness, but yet that they were very ordinary people. They were not elected officials. They weren't any different than anybody else. And through those words and experiences, we find that that's the most inspirational way to get people to not just see that things can be different, but that they can actually make a difference. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly moving. But it's also very instructive, because when you see that somebody else that might be just like you is able to do something, it gives you a different perspective. And just from the other perspective, we're developing curriculum guides and shortcuts of the film so that teachers will be able to use a section specifically on specific issues and use them with discussion guides and questions, et cetera, so that it will be an easy lesson plan for teachers.
That was going to be my next question. I feel like we just had a real brief conversation about how the use of Howard Zinn's books, specifically A People's History, in classrooms has been increasing over the years, and more folks are coming to accept it as a useful resource and not something that's way, way out on the radical fringe. And at the same time, we're hearing about Texas changing their textbooks and cutting many, many things out. I'm really curious about how you all do publicity with the film to get teachers in areas like that exposed to the opportunity to show radical films and to get more radical curriculum into their classrooms, despite all of these regulations that are going on and the sheer obliteration of useful information that we're seeing.
Well, that's a great question. We're running a very grassroots campaign, and we find that by reaching directly through organizations that teachers and community groups are involved with, we can reach them with our information and not have to go through the organized channels that might not necessarily be as open to us. As a teacher, former teacher myself, I know that I was always looking for materials that would inspire my students, and I joined several groups. There are several across the country, Teachers for Social Change, et cetera. And we're working with several organizations along those lines, including some of the larger social justice organizations, to disseminate the information. And when the curriculum is done, we'll have not only will we post it on our website, but we'll be working with several organizations to be able to get that information out. And we'll have free downloadable lesson plans.
Awesome. We look forward to hearing more about those.
We'll make it as our goal is, like I said, the tagline of the film is democracy is not a spectator sport. And we are very grassroots in how we're going to get the information out and how we're going to make sure that it's in the hands of the people who not only need it, but who will use it.
In keeping with that theme, democracy is not a spectator sport, at our event on Wednesday, April 28th at the Del Mar Theater, after the film, we are going to have a few members of the community come up and kind of add in the same mode as what's happening in the film. They're going to speak some inspiring words about local struggles, and then they're going to stay up and we're going to have a panel discussion about local actions and have an interaction with the audience about how people can get involved in, just as you say, becoming a part of the active members of their own democracy.
One more question sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's exactly what we recommend community members to do, and I'm so happy that at Real Work Film Festival they will be incorporating the struggles that are happening in their own community. It's and similarly in classrooms and with students, when they see a segment of the film or if they watch the whole film, and then they select issues that are important to them and act them out, it really brings it to life. And so to have something relevant to your own community, have local activists be part of the film screening either before or afterwards, let it inspire them to learn something, to research what's a struggle in their own community, and then prepare and present that is a wonderful way not only to learn but to teach others.
Oh, go ahead. I'm going to let it go. Sorry. It was a whole other tangent.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So I hope that I'm assuming that everybody that's listening is going to come to the Real Work Festival and check out not only the People Speak, but all of the other wonderful films that they have listed. There's great opportunities to be among other activists and like-minded people. Right. who watch terrific films and get inspired. I know the People Speak, we are there because we want to support and inspire the community to become active and to support the local activities. And so I'm hoping that everybody will come and support the People Speak and all the other films.
And I think we forgot to mention on the air that you are also going to be joining us that evening to say a few words about the film and its production and your involvement in it. And we're looking forward to seeing you there.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to being there as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the air with us this evening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And don't forget to check out thepeoplespeak.com. And I look forward to seeing everybody on the 28th.
Sounds great. We'll see you there.
Okay. All right. Take care. Thanks so much.
Are we taking a musical break?
Sure.
All right. Stay tuned for a little bit of music. Or applause.
I don't have time for despair. There's too much to do. I made a song about all that. And it's not, I don't make songs like this very often. Never. It's kind of a chant. So I need help on it. It's got a refrain, and then it has a chorus. Well, let's see. Sojourner Truth said, ain't I woman, ship gonna sail someday. That's your line. Ship gonna sail someday. Joe Hill said, don't want organized, ship gonna sail someday. And the chorus goes, working on a ship, may never sail on, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, gonna build it anyway. You try it. Working on a ship, may never sail on, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, gonna build it anyway. Let's start over. Sojourner Truth said, ain't I a woman, ship gonna sail someday. Mother Jones said, no child labor, ship gonna sail someday. Joe Hill said, don't want organized, ship gonna sail someday. Jean Deb said, well, there's a soul in prison, ship gonna sail someday. We're working on a ship, may never sail on, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, gonna build it anyway. Marie Sugar said, sit down, ship gonna sail someday. Paul Robeson said, I won't stop singing, ship gonna sail someday. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, ship gonna sail someday. Malcolm X said, power to the people, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, gonna build it anyway. Cesar Chavez said, viva la huelga, ship gonna sail someday. Dorothy Day said, swords into plowshares, ship gonna sail someday. Judy Berry said, no compromise, ship gonna sail someday. Bill Berrigan said, no more atom bombs, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, gonna build it anyway. They're all gone, and we're still building, ship gonna sail someday. With hand and heart and mind and muscle, ship gonna sail someday. Working on a ship, may never sail on, ship gonna sail someday. We're working on a ship, may never sail on, gonna build it anyway.
All right, so Daniel has requested that we do take two on that conversation we just had. So, what do you know?
So, while we were on break, I had a thought while Lisa was on the phone about, in answering your question about how do we, you know, talk about and teach more radical forms of education without sounding too preachy or too, like, crazy radical lunatics or whatever.
but prefer not to sound like a lunatic.
Right, I mean, like, we don't. Right?
In
That's
general.
Not the point. What I was thinking while that conversation was going on was, like, just basically the fundamental, you know, ideologies of popular education and what those things mean is that, like, if you can connect theory and, like, theoretical, you know, whatever with people's actual experiences, you're in business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking before about how, like, Martin Luther King was just a preacher, right, who happened to just be really, really articulate and happened to be really charismatic and happened to speak to regular, ordinary people's experiences, and that's what got them motivated. So mm-hmm. if you can take those theories and if you can take those so-called, like, gray people and connect them with everyday experiences and ordinary people's lives, and, you know, that's what makes you motivated. When you feel like you're connected to that theory, it gives you, you know, a sense of
I belong to this. I actually am included
right.
in this group.
Like, I see what you're saying when this is going on because I feel it here, mm-hmm. you know? And
right.
and that's what's really important. And
I think that I would add to that, because I do definitely agree with that. I would also add that people or teachers or organizers, you know, activists, whatever you want to say, who embody their philosophy, who aren't just doing it for the identity,
right.
but who actually, you see them on time when they don't think anybody's watching, doing exactly what they're saying they're doing. You know, it's not just that Martin Luther King was very articulate about what he
right.
was saying. It's he was also willing to get dragged off by his collar and
right.
taken into jail
sure.
25 times or however many times it was.
Right.
So we need to see the action behind the words
sure.
as well.
Sure. And to bring it kind of back to, you know, the Labor Film Festival, like, things like education and labor are, like, totally intermingled, and, like, there's no way you can separate those things, but you have to see it and you have to feel it before you can really want to be devoted to it. And for me, I feel like that's happened, but, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, you don't see the connections until you can connect it with your life. And
right.
So you should come to the Labor Film Festival and see how
among
it connects.
Among other actions. That's where it starts.
Right.
Or that is one of many steps on the path. And the other thing that I brought up, you know, sorry to all the people who are in the studio who already heard this, is that there's a part of me that thinks, you know, I want to ask this question of how do we not sound like lunatics or, like, fringy or ultra extreme left. But then on the other hand, we can just say our piece, and it doesn't matter what it sounds like because we just need to speak our piece, whatever that is. And so there are times when we're going to get called something by anybody on any side, you know, whether it's too wimpy and not political enough or whether it's too political. I think we just need to go out there and say what needs to get said and do what needs to get done.
And that's really one of the hopefully enduring legacies of Zinn. I mean, the link there between labor and education, I can't think of a better example of that link than Howard Zinn, where he's talking about, we're talking about popular education and
right.
connecting and making education relevant.
Right.
By talking about the, you know, I don't like to use the word every man, but the people,
right.
the people's history.
I mean,
bring it back to the title, you know?
Right. Every one of his books was titled The People's History, The People Speaks, because that's what resonates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so it's not, you know, it's about teaching through, you know, giving voice and giving expression to the everyday people's history, the everyday people's struggles, whether they're workers and whether they're everyday run-of-the-mill citizens who have something important to say and to teach, and that we can learn from, and that in fact we can learn from more effectively, more efficiently, and better because it's relevant, because it connects to our lives and our students' lives. So.
And after every film at the Labor, the Real Work Labor Film Festival, we don't just show a movie and then say goodbye to people. We try to have a speaker who and have a discussion afterwards that engages the audience to really bring home whatever message was in that film to this our own community here and to each one of our own individual lives, so that we can really learn something from it. I'll mention a few of the other films we talked about. Howard Zinn's film, The People Speak, which is going to be the Del Mar Theater on Wednesday, April 28th. And I also mentioned the Food Inc., which is going to be our opening event at noon at the Nickelodeon Theater on Sunday, April 25th. That night, 7 o'clock on Sunday the 25th, singers and songwriters Charlie King and Karen Brando are going to be at the SEIU Union Hall at 7 o'clock. They're going to be doing a program called Brother, Can You Spare a Dime, which includes songs and stories and images about what happened to working people from the through the 1930s. And then Monday night, April 26th, we'll be at Kresge Town Hall, 7 o'clock. What's the Economy For Anyway? An interesting look at our present economy, and Claim Your Change, the surfers who decided to save the environment. On Tuesday, April 27th at 7 o'clock, we'll be at the Calvary Episcopal Red Church in downtown Santa Cruz. A few films, one of them called Who Will Pick the Avocados? Very interesting film that was submitted to the festival from a by an Israeli filmmaker. And it looks at the agricultural sector in Israel, where the border is closed with the Palestinian areas. And so most Palestinians who used to work in agriculture can't get into the country anymore. There are still some who sneak across the border and have to sleep in abandoned buildings and do day labor works. And it sounded very similar to what's going on here. And then they also import rural people from rural Thailand is almost indentured servants to come pick the avocados in Israel. It's a very interesting situation. On Wednesdays, the people speak. On Friday, we're showing The Garden at outdoors at the Beach Flats Community Garden at 8 o'clock. We're having a on Sunday the 2nd, this is going to be the Watsonville event, with Watsonville on Strike bringing that film back, and also Y Se Hizo La Luz about the Mexican electrical workers' strike. That's going to be 7 o'clock at the Cabrillo Watsonville Forum. Monday, May 3rd, at the Community Television Studio downtown Santa Cruz, a film called Heart of the Factory. And this is about a group of workers in southern Argentina and Patagonia had a ceramics factory when the whole economy blew up there and the factory owners abandoned the factory. Also, the workers, this is part of the worker-owned movement. They took over their factory and they got it producing. These are just common working people, and they were used to taking orders, and it's now they own the factory, and they have to go through a whole mental change to be able to put themselves in the positions of making the marketing decisions and the purchasing decisions. And they realize that they're not separate from the community, but they consider their factory, although they're technically the owners, they consider it owned by the community. And they give a lot back to the community that they work in. Tuesday, May the 7th, back at the SEIU Union Hall, 7 o'clock, two films about Afghanistan, Why Are We in Afghanistan? And Rethink Afghanistan. And a lot of good information about, you know, if you're not convinced that that there's some problem with being there, go to see these shows, and you might get some new information. And then the last film in our series, Wednesday, May 5th at Cabrillo College in Aptos, Bound for Glory, story of Woody Guthrie, folk balladeer and poet. He traveled around the country and made a name for himself and really was a great labor supporter. And what I skipped over was on May 1st, which is May Day, International Workers Day, Real Work is hosting a May Day parade and sing-along. We're meeting at the town clock, and we're reclaiming May 1st as International Workers Day. And that's kind of the lineup here in Santa Cruz. We also have schedules in Santa Clara County and Monterey County, which are complete schedules on the website, www.realwork.org.
Thanks for that synopsis. That was great. I'm curious how it seems like, what is it, Friday, April 30th, you're playing The Garden down in the Beach Flats, and that's an unusual venue. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the Beach Flats Garden and Open Air Theater came into play?
Well, the way Real Work operates, we have a core group that sort of sets up a structure, and then we invite other community organizations or groups to join with us and pick a night on the schedule, and they get to pick a film and pick the speakers and so forth. And on several occasions, the Gorilla Drive-In has joined us, and of course they're committed to showing films in public spaces, and they like this film, and they thought a garden would be a great place to show the film called The Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very pleased to have that part of our program.
Excellent. Well, I would encourage everybody to turn out for that Friday, April 30th at 8 p.m. in the community, the Beach Flats Community Garden. There's some very interesting parallels between the Seaside Company and the Beach Flats Garden and the South Central Gardeners and their 14-acre expanse that was taken away / is still being fought for.
Well, let's take a quick musical break and we'll see about this call-in from L.A.
Sounds great.
But thank you both for being on the air and coming and hanging out in the studio as well, and for telling us about all this work. Any final thoughts about the festival coming up? It seems like it's coming up pretty soon here.
It should be great. You know, there's a little bit of something for everybody, so I think you should at least check out one. And for the UC students, you know, it's right there, Kresge. Guys, get your booties down there.
Doesn't get any closer to home than that.